What are you worried about?
I know you're worried about something. Because we all worry. We're such a society of worriers that we have drugs for it. You see them on TV, don't you? Drugs for anti-anxiety. Because we live in a world in which we worry about everything. We worry about paying the bills of what we're going to accumulate, or the house that we live in, or the job that we have, or the people at work talking about us, or what's going on at church. There are so many things in the world in which we worry, it drives us to the point of insanity. But here's the thing. Why do you worry? If you really believe what you believe in Jesus Christ and what you profess, what do you have to worry about? When you think about the idea of faith, faith is putting your trust in something that's there. You have faith in God, a trust that He's going to provide and give you everything that pertains to life and godliness, those things of which He's going to supply to you. So, what do you have to worry about? But you see, it's hard not to worry because we don't see the instant gratification of that which God said He's going to give us. Think about Matthew 6 and verse 33, and we're going to look at this chapter in just a moment, but the Bible tells us what we're to seek in this life, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So Jesus is saying, if you think about the idea of faith and you're seeking God first, everything else really takes care of itself in relation to who we are as God's people. Because it's a blessing to be a child of God, but sometimes we desire that of which we really don't need, right? I'll tell you this, I'm an Apple person. I love Mac. I know some of you computer guys don't like that, but so, you know, the next iPhone came out. But when I saw the sticker price, $1,000, I said, well, maybe. And my wife said, well, no. Because we want the next best thing, right? Even if we don't want it, we try to accumulate it because we desire it. And Jesus talks about this idea of security, of heavenly treasures contrasted with earthly anxieties. So when you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through the end of the chapter, the very first five or six verses there in Matthew 6 and verse 19, Jesus talks about this idea of where we are to set our affections, right? And this year we're talking about setting our treasures in heaven. Not accumulating things on this earth that are going to sustain us, because those things are really going to pass away. So when you think about the idea of worry of which we're going to be talking tonight, and you think about what it means to worry and accumulate, to make more money so we can gain more things, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen one of these on the road? Maybe you haven't, because there's nothing there. It was supposed to be there. Maybe he'll pull it up in a minute. But the picture was of a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. And it was an actual hearse, not a picture, not a drawing or a painting, but an actual hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. Have you ever seen one of those? I don't know if they were going to a funeral or not, or maybe they were just moving to a new funeral home, but I thought the picture was funny because you really can't bring it with you. You see, those things that we accumulate in this life aren't going to be with us when we get in heaven, because those things that we accumulate here don't mean anything in heaven. Jesus talks about this idea of anxiety of which we're worrying about accumulating so many things that Jesus says man has to make a choice in Matthew 6 and verse 24. He says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Either you're going to choose to serve the way of righteousness, or the word mammon in the King James is an old Chaldean word for earthly dwelling riches. So are we going to serve God, or are we going to serve our possessions? And really, when you think about it, that's the way the world is geared today. Because it's all about stuff. And we want what everybody else has. And if we don't have it, we want the next best thing. But here's what Jesus said. The earthly things don't matter. As you begin to store up those treasures in heaven, that is the spiritual access of which we're trying to accomplish, is doing what God requires us through faith and obedience, and that we're laying up our treasures in heaven so that God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter ye herein. And there's not going to be a corner of which we're going to walk to and see all of this stuff that we've been collecting here. But you see, that which we've been storing up in heaven is that which Jesus talks about in John 14 when He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and what receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. Brethren, that's what we're storing up in heaven, our earthly things on this earth mean nothing compared to the eternity of which we're going to have with the mansion that God is going to provide. You think about that which John is writing in John chapter 20 when he's talking about and giving the descriptions of what heaven's going to be like and the streets and all of the different emeralds that are going to kind of be all over everything in relationship to the gates that's going to be surrounding heaven. John really couldn't even put it into words. But you see, it's hard for us to picture that because we can't see it now. We think about having a house that's a little bit bigger, a little bit better, right? We think we need more room for the more stuff that we have. I told Larissa the other night when we were driving home, and maybe you do, and I'm not pointing the finger at you if you do. I said, I don't understand storage sheds, that people pay all of this money to store their stuff on the side of the road that they're never going to use. Because we accumulate so much stuff. And I'm just as guilty. When we moved here, we threw away a lot of things. I told myself I'm never going to get back into those size 30 pants that I wore in high school. It's time to get rid of them. It's a great lofty goal, but it's probably not going to happen. You see, we want to keep things. But it's when you get to verse 25 that I really want us to focus on tonight. So I know you have your Bible, so turn with me to Matthew chapter 20 or 6 and verse 25. And after giving this discourse, and obviously this being the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus talks about worrying about building up treasures and where we're supposed to have our affection set, those things that are in heaven, Jesus says, you don't need to worry about those things because God is with you. You look at verse 25 here. Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You know what Jesus is saying here? Life is more than stuff. But we've got stores full of stuff. We've got houses full of stuff. We've got places full of stuff. And maybe your car is full of stuff because we like stuff. But God said those things don't make a difference in this life because life is more than that. Because verse 26, Jesus said, because life is more than that, Jesus said, your heavenly Father cares for you. He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not better than they are? If God provides for the fowls of the air, for the animals of this world, do you not think that God too is going to provide for that which you need? But you see, it's easy for us to worry. I mean, maybe you remember a song back around, 1986. You know where I'm going. And now it's going to be stuck in your head all the way home. Don't worry, be happy. Some of you are old enough to remember that song. Had a catchy tune. Why do you think he wrote that song? Because we worry. Now we have those shirts and you just fill in the blank. You know, be calm and don't this. Be calm and don't that. I heard somebody say, I can't be calm because I got too much anxiety. But we even have t-shirts to tell us to be calm and not to worry about things today. We have songs of old that tell us don't worry about these things. But the Bible says, where is your faith and trust being put? Because if it's not in God, then you don't trust in what God is going to provide for you. But again, because we don't see the immediate relief or the immediate access to what we need and what we want, we begin to lose faith in who God is. I might have told you this before. When I was in college, two young boys, I think Tyler was in elementary school maybe, and Christian was 2 or 3 years old at the time. And I remember, because I was a broke college student, working two jobs, sometimes three at the college, Larissa was working, not making much money. We didn't have a lot of money. And I worried constantly about how much gas I was going to be able to put in my car. Because I had a 30-minute drive to college every single day. Larissa had a 30-minute drive the opposite direction to work. And back then, that's when gas was climbing. And I said, we've got to pay daycare. We've got to put food on the table. We've got to pay bills. And we've got to put gas in the tank. And that's all I worried about. Until one day, I come home, I open up the mailbox, and I pull out a letter from the IRS. And I said, oh, great. If this day just can't get any better. So I threw the letter on the counter and went about my afternoon, finally opening up the letter, because the IRS had audited us 3 years prior, I open up this letter, and there was a $1,600 check from the IRS. Brethren, if you don't think that's providence, I don't know what is. Because I didn't even have a dollar in my bank account. But you see, what that told me, as I look back on that, God said, what are you worried about? I'll take care of you. Stop worrying. It doesn't matter how you live in this life. It's about who you are as a Christian. And if you trust in God, He's going to provide. Maybe not the way you want Him to, but what good does worry do? There's the old English proverb, worry's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. So what are we worried about? Look at verses 28 through 30. And why do you take thought of the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God does clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? Notice what it says there, brethren, in the last part of verse 30. O ye of little faith. That's the key to why we worry. Because we don't have faith in God. O ye of little faith. I appreciated what Brother Anthony Hall said yesterday as he did the Devo at the picnic. And he summed it up, really. And he almost did my sermon yesterday. He said, I just learned to let go. I just let go. When's the last time you just let go? It's a hard thing to do, right? If you're a type A like me, it's hard to let things go, not grab hold and take charge and get things done. But really, we've just got to learn to take our hands off of the steering wheel and let God drive. We've got to quit being the pilot and allow God to drive the car. Because we want to be in control of everything in life. Look at verse 31 again. He says, you're acting like the world. Therefore, take no thought. Again, he's telling us, quit thinking about these things. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? What are you worried about? Jesus says not to worry about earthly possessions because those things or which the world seeks is about which the world worries about. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has declared that His people think different and they act differently. You go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, of which Jesus talks about the type of people that we're supposed to be. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. If we're so caught up with the earthly desires and worrying about that which the world is trying to get us to worry about, how can we be examples in cities that sit upon the hill because we're more concerned with the world than we are with heaven? We can't exactly shine a light when we're dimmed by the devil. So when you think about those things, we've got to stop acting like the world. Look at verse 32. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of everything, of all these things. God knows what you need. It might not be what you want, but He knows exactly what you need. And sometimes we don't even realize it's been given to us until we begin to count that which God has blessed us with. I heard an old preacher say one time, if you sit there every day and count your blessings, you won't worry about too much because you'll remember everything that God has blessed you with. Your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. Verse 33 tells us to have a higher ambition, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when we seek after those heavenly things, all those things, not the things that you desire, not the earthly things of this world. That's not what he's talking about. You always hear these televangelists, sow that seed and God's going to give you that blessing. That's not the way it works. I always like you see Creflo Dollar in his $2,000 suits and nice Bentleys and jets, but I don't see his audience driving in around any of that. Why? Because they're concerned about themselves. It's all about the mighty dollar, right? That's what the world is concerned about. That's what drives us today. But he said, if you seek things above, not on things of this earth, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God is going to bless you with that of which you need. But sometimes we don't even know what we need, do we, spiritually speaking, physically speaking, earthly speaking? But God is going to provide for us. But verse 34, this is the key. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. Can you do anything about tomorrow? Can you? There's nothing that you can control about tomorrow because it's not even here yet. But if you're like me, you lay down, and as I call it, not worrying, it's forward thinking. I start thinking about tomorrow. I'm trying not to worry, but I'm thinking forward about all of those things I've got to do. Well, if I don't get this done, then that's going to lead to this. If I don't get this done, that's going to lead to this. No, that's worry. But we do that, don't we? We start worrying about tomorrow. Notice verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. The only thing we need to concentrate on is today, because guess what, brethren? You might not have tomorrow. You might pillow your head and never wake up again. You might leave here today, and heaven forbid, you might not make it home. But you spent all of that time worrying about that which you cannot change tomorrow, because tomorrow isn't even here. Do you think it was a problem then as it is now? So much so that Jesus had to preach a sermon on it, because they too were worried. Brethren, worry simply comes down to this. We take the trust out of the hands of the Father. We take out of His hands that which He wants to hold. And we take away our faith and we turn our back on Him and we serve self. Because really, when you think about it, that's exactly what worry is. It's serving self. Well, if God isn't going to take care of it right this minute, then obviously it's not going to happen. If I don't get what I need right now, then obviously God is not paying attention. Maybe what God is telling you is to keep your mouth shut and pay attention to Him instead of worrying about that which He hasn't given you. You see, because God gives us everything that we need and only what we need. You know, some people say, I've got to strive for the next best thing in my career and make more money and do all of these things. Maybe God is telling you no because you're not ready for that next step in your career. Maybe you want the next best thing concerning your house, but maybe He says you're not responsible enough to pay the mortgage on that house. You see, those are things we don't want to hear. But that's the reality of life, because sometimes we just need to understand that God knows better than we do. But when we put our trust in Him, and like Brother Anthony said, let go. Just let go. Have you ever done one of those trust falls? Just fall back and let them catch you? Can't see them. But boy, you sure hope they catch you. God is there, and He's going to catch you. Whether you believe it or not, and whether you can see Him or not, God is there. Brethren, just put your trust in Him and stop worrying. If you love Him, if you believe in Him, and if you trust Him, and based upon what Jesus did, you know He's going to provide. Didn't He provide at Calvary? He said, I love you enough to give you my Son to die on the cross in your stead. If you can't put trust in that, brethren, what can we put our trust in? Because God gave the greatest gift ever given to mankind. If you trust Him, let go. Tonight, if you're here, if you truly trust Him, and you know that He can save you, but for some reason you're holding on from obeying the gospel, whatever's stopping you tonight, let go. Trust in Him and know that He's going to provide and prepare a way for you. But you've got to do it His way. You've got to do it according to His plan. You see, that's where we fail sometimes. We follow our own plan in life rather than God's plan. And then we wonder why things don't work out according to our plan, because they're not according to God's plan. Remember in James chapter 3, God said, you left me out of the picture. Put Him back in the picture. So tonight, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to let go, if you need to repent of your sins, confess your faith that Jesus died on the cross, that He is the Son of God, and that you'll have your sins washed away in that watery grave, that you put your trust in Him to become a new creature. That's what we want to help you with. And if you're a child of God tonight who's been worrying too much, let me tell you this, you're not alone. Because there's not a person in this auditorium tonight that hasn't been worrying about something. We're all in the same boat because it's in our nature to worry. Put your trust back in Him tonight as together we stand and as we sing.